from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and following. Nehemiah said to them, "You see the troubles we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we may no longer suffer disgrace." I told them that the hand of my God had been gracious upon me, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us start building." So they committed themselves to the common good. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We come to the final letter of the acronym CHRIST. In the model of leadership that we've considered over this 6-week sermon series. And in many ways, this final letter is a culmination of all the others. The image, the transformation of Christ is the goal to any leadership we embody as the church. So that is the T, this last leg of the leadership that we'll consider today. Transformational. How can we be transformed more in the image of Christ? But not only ourselves. How can we as the church be part of the transformational spirit for the world around us? We celebrate today Christ the King Sunday in our liturgy, in our church calendar. And Christ the King Sunday is a time that was begun back in the 1925s. The Catholic Church embodied it first. The Pope's ruling was to conquer the secularism that was becoming such a tragedy in the land, in the world. And we as Protestants, in our tradition, also embrace this day as a reminder that in the busyness of our world, in the many things that push and pull upon us to demand our attention, our desires, Christ is indeed the King of life, the one we should ultimately follow and seek to be transformed more in His image. Certainly it's appropriate to celebrate this day as we begin next Sunday, Advent, and proclaim and remember the hope that we have in our Savior, who will indeed transform our world eternally when He comes in His glory. But until then, until that return, friends, I heard one say recently that we as the church are God's plan A to transform the world. We are God's plan A, and God doesn't have a plan B. It's up to us to be Christ to a broken world, a world in darkness, a world that needs to see the light and love of a Savior. And so I embrace the call of this text today, this Christ model of leadership, to strive in every way I can to be transformed more in the image of our Lord and to transform those around us. Someone once said that the goal of leadership is to not simply make more followers, but the true goal of leadership is to make more leaders. Wow. Imagine if we were to embody that commitment in the church to not simply participate, but to actively engage proclaiming the love of our Lord in all that we do. And in everything that we say, to take it upon ourselves to transform those around us as Christ has transformed us. Yes, the goal of transformational leadership is not for us simply to get decisions for Christ, but to make disciples for Christ. You see the difference? Beyond decision making, beyond simply proclaiming faith in Christ, when we embody being disciples, we say we want to follow in His way and inspire others to do the same. Friends, that's when transformation can occur. You know, I read recently in a leadership book this model that some of you may have heard before. Do you know that one person committed to disciple making can plant the seed work to transform our entire world in just 33 years? Did you know that? Imagine if we each made a commitment to disciple one person for the next year. I can do that. I can commit to one person. And then the next year, we disciple another person. But before we begin our discipling of the other person, we make our one that we disciple to, we encourage them to make the same commitment we did. So the second year, instead of just us making a disciple, there's two people doing the work of one, right? And then the next year, there's four people. And then there's eight people. Then there's 16 people the years after, 32 people, 64 people. I'm going to round down here. 125 people, 250, 500 people doing the work of those others. And then 1,000 in just 10 years. But let's go on. 11 years, it'd be 2,000 people, 4,000 people, 8,000. 16,000, 32,000, 64,000, 125,000, 250, 500,000, 1 million people in 20 years. Let's go once more. 2 million, 4 million, 8 million, 16 million, 32 million, 64 million, 125 million, 250 million, 500 million, 1 billion people, beginning with one person discipling another for 1 year. And then, friends, in the 33rd year, you know what would happen? We would run out of people. The whole world would be transformed through the love of Christ. See, it's not about simply getting decisions for our Lord, but it's making disciples of our Lord. That's what it means to be a leader of the church, of the faith. Friends, our Lord Jesus, as we celebrate and remember His kingship on this day, spent His life's ministry transforming others, changing them from what they were into something more. Isn't that what our great leaders in our culture do? Our great football coaches, not a good day to talk about Nick Saban, but one of the great leaders in athletics who transformed men to be more than they were, who inspire them to greatness. That's the goal of leadership. Our Lord Jesus was the greatest transformational leader our world has ever known. Yes, He preached to the multitudes, but do you know He spent the majority of His time with 12 followers, nurturing them and discipling them to be more, and for their ministry to live beyond His life on earth? Wow. That's what happens when we seek to transform lives. But Jesus also worked on the individual leaders. I'm grateful for the passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 5 that tells us of a time when Jesus journeyed, as Mark records it, to the other side, a place opposite Galilee, as Scripture would tell us. A place in a land called Kersey where I have stood along with my dad. And my mom's made that journey to the other side. As the writer Mark talks about Jesus journeying to the other side of the lake, it wasn't simply a geographical turn. But you see, that was the land of the Gentiles, friends. In other words, the people who weren't the people of Jesus. The people his faith had taught him to stay away from. There's no hope for them. We are the chosen people. But when our Lord, the King of glory, came to this earth, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life for any who trust and seek to follow me. And as Jesus stepped out of that boat into that land of Kersey, into that region called Gadara, he was met by a demon-possessed man. Some of you may remember the story. And the man was living among the tombs. He was naked. And the scripture tells us that he was tormented night and day. He couldn't sleep. He used to cut his body with stones, the scripture says to us. He was plagued with all these illnesses. Imagine with me. He was alone in the tombs. He was isolated from his family. He was suicidal. He was so emotionally broken and depressed and depleted that he wanted to end it all. He was plagued as if an addiction was inside of him that had control, whether it was an evil spirit or a substance. His life in his image was not worth living. He had no self-image. He had worse than poor self-image. He had no self-image. He had no care. He ran around naked. And those who sought to shackle him could not even restrain him. Friends, there was no hope. And Jesus came to him and transformed him into a new creation. The scripture tells us that as the townspeople left and came back, they saw this man who had been named Legion because he was plagued with thousands of demons in his mind, that he was sitting and in his right mind, clothed and giving glory to God. Friends, that is transformation. You see, I hear in Legion's story, maybe some of our story today, that whatever we're wrestling with, maybe it's family brokenness and isolation as Legion had. Perhaps it's depression, emotional turmoil that we just are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Or maybe it's an addiction. Or something holding us in shackles that we can't break free from. Friends, there is hope. The same hope that there's always been through Christ the King that came to transform you because you are worthy of his love. Just as Legion. One who was overlooked. One who was outcast and thought unworthy of being restored and hopeless. Jesus came to him and he comes to us and he comes to the world. And so it was in our scripture today. The reading of Nehemiah. Do you hear how Nehemiah, this one who we journeyed with for the last 5 weeks, who went in bondage with his people, who was taken away from his homeland and carried in captivity to Babylon. And oh, how Nehemiah, friends, could have wallowed in his brokenness, right? Now, I'm so good at that. I don't know about you. It's so tempting to wallow in everything that's going wrong when we maybe feel like Legion or Nehemiah taking from our homeland, hopeless in our despair. But friends, here's what Nehemiah did. He rose to become the cupbearer of the king in this foreign land. You see, Nehemiah made a determination not to focus on everything that was wrong in his life, but what could be right through God's grace and strength. Brother Randy Hamilton sends me a text every Saturday morning. Many of you know Randy. Sends me a text and says, I'm praying for you and your church tomorrow in worship. This week during Thanksgiving, he sent me this text. He said, when I'm asked the question, is your cup half filled? Or is your cup half empty? He said, my answer is, I'm just grateful I've got a cup. That, my friends, was the spirit of Nehemiah. The spirit of Nehemiah, who celebrated what God had done for him. And then what did Nehemiah want to do? He wanted to go and transform his homeland, Jerusalem, and rebuild the walls, right? Here's what inspired Nehemiah, friends. Listen with me. Nehemiah said in our text today, in verse 18, he said, I told these who I were seeking to motivate, I told them how God's gracious hand had been upon me. See, Nehemiah had an attitude of gratitude. Friends, I'm convinced today. Hold on to this. Absorb this with me. Receive it with me. I'm not preaching at you. I'm receiving it with you today. Receive this to me, with me. If you want to be transformed more in the image and joy of our Lord, then embrace the spirit of Nehemiah to count your blessings daily. To consider what God has done for you. And then you and me, like Nehemiah, will be inspired to transform the world into His glory. Can it happen by simply being thankful? Can we, as God's people, can we as Ripley Presbyterian Church have a transformational impact upon our county? Our county that's plagued with drug addiction. We have one of the highest rates in the entire nation. Because people are hopeless. They're looking for answers. And friends, we have the answer in Jesus Christ. Will you be a voice for Him? Will you help to transform our community, our region, more in the image of Christ by considering everything He's done for you? You see, maybe you're like Nehemiah. Maybe you've risen to great success. Maybe you've been blessed beyond measure. And it makes you today say, thank you, Lord. Use me as a vessel for your glory. Maybe your story mirrors Nehemiah's today. But perhaps your story is more like Legion's. Maybe instead of one who's reached the pinnacle of success, you're just grateful to have a cup. Doesn't have to be half full. But God has claimed me. He's restored me. He had hope in me when no one else did. Friends, whatever your story is, that is our simple call from on high to tell our story. Friends, this isn't my opinion that I share with you today. This is the call of the faith. And it's practiced in Holy Scripture. You know, I shared with you in Mark 5 that Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes, right? And he restored legion. And many of us know the text where he cast the evil spirits into the swine, right? And they ran down the cliff. You remember what the outcome was? The city people weren't too appreciative of Jesus destroying their livelihood. You remember what they said? They said, "Would you go away from here? We don't want your transformation anymore." And Jesus left. But before he left, friends, he ministered to legion. And legion wanted to go with Jesus. But do you remember what our Lord said? Our Lord said this, "Legion, return home and tell your people what God has done for you." Friends, that's all it means to transform the world. And you know what the outcome was? Just a few weeks later, or perhaps a few months later, no more than a year later, in Mark chapter 7, look it up. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus returned to that region. And it says to us that so many people gathered to hear him that he fed 4,000 people with loaves and fish. And the question presents itself: where did they come from? How were these people transformed who didn't want him there weeks before? I'm convinced that with the inspiration of my friend Bob Rambo, that legion embraced the call given to him to go tell what the Lord had done. And he transformed an entire region of people into the love and life-giving grace of our Lord. May we do the same. Amen.